NAR, or Pentecostal movement, and seeking the presence of God is that it's almost like they separate God and His Spirit into, like, the Spirit just has him, the supposed Spirit they're following has him babbling unintelligible tongues that are not biblical. But then they have to seek this other presence of God. And it's like Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, like Philip asked him at one point, like, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been so long with you and you haven't known me? If you have one, you have them all. Like Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But yet he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's with us through the Spirit. They're kind of denying the very word of God and the Spirit in that pursuit, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. It's Satan's ploy. It's Gnosticism. They're adding something that God did not give us. They're adding it for a new experience. They've added music instruments. They've added all this crazy music. What do? We saw it when we were at the Sunday preach. They add smoke and lights and laser lights and craziness. They're adding to the things of God when God gave us, really, think about it. He gave us three simple things. Not that Christ is simple, but the simplicity of Christ. He gave us the Son, He gave us the Spirit, and He gave us the Word. You could throw the fourth one in there. He gives us the body. And so these are simple things that He gives us, and there's nothing new to them. There's no additions. We don't add to it. We don't try to make it new and improved mayonnaise, right? When I was a kid, there was two kinds of mayonnaise on the shelf. That's it. Now there's like 37 new and improved, new homogenized, you know, GMO free and all this stuff. No, you know, that's not, you could do tons of new stuff with food. God's theology is not new, is it, brothers? Nothing changes. You can't add to it. Right? Wait, say that again, brother. Say that again, brother Purgos.
Earnestly contend for the faith once delivered.
Once delivered. I love it. Very good. Yep, that's what we are contending for. What did you say, Brother Zealous?
I was literally going to say exactly what Brother Purgos just said, that if it changes, it's no longer the faith once delivered unto the saints.
Hey, that reminds me when we were talking to somebody yesterday, how they said, you guys all speak the same things. And Brother Zealous read 1 Corinthians 1:10, where this Holy Spirit and united bodies all speak the same things, be united in one mind. Isn't that something? When we do what the Holy Spirit does, we get mocked by people that aren't of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting?
They went out from among us, for they were not of us.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. I wanted to bring up something real quick. I think it's kind of related to this. Brother, I think it was Brother Purgos and I were talking. You guys, when you hear me street preach, you hear me hammer a lot on Easter or Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday, and how they're lies. And I hammer on that a lot. And this goes in with what we're talking about here, the rest, because I mentioned Christ is the rest. He's our sanctuary by the Holy Spirit in us right now. The reason I wanted to bring this up, the reason I hammer on this, does everybody understand the real reason why I hammer on it? It's, yeah, I know they're pagan holidays. I know they're lies. I know 3 days and three nights to Friday night to Sunday morning doesn't work. They're lies. But do you know what the bigger core issue is about that? I kind of just said it.
Yeah, there's actually a few, because Easter strips away the entire fulfillment of the law that Christ did and what he brought in its place. He died as a sacrificial Passover lamb for us. They strip away the Passover and put a pagan Easter holiday in his place. He rose on the Saturday, which is the biblical Sabbath, because he becomes our Sabbath rest. He basically fulfilled scripture and brought in the new and improved, not new and improved, but basically the fulfilled and heightened version of it. And they put all that completely aside, and it's almost like you're taking away part of what his ministry was.
Yeah. Well, you said the word improved. It's not the exact word, but Paul did say a better covenant.
Yeah, it's like the word I was thinking of almost was like the new and improved, but it's not. That could be taken the wrong way. It's like the fulfilled covenant and the new covenant that he came to establish when he fulfilled those old shadows, which were shadows of things to come.
Amen.
And like pagan holidays like Easter completely strip away Christ's ministry as the sacrifice, as the Passover lamb, as the shed blood that lets the wrath of God pass over us, that delivers us from Egypt. There's so much symbolism and fulfillment of the law in there, and they completely strip that all the way down to he becomes our new Sabbath rest, and now every day in him is holy, and now we're the living sacrifice unto God. They completely strip all of Christ's ministry away and toss a chocolate-covered bunny and Good Friday Sunday morning in there. It's completely, they completely tear away Christ's ministry when they do that.
Yeah, amen. That's exactly where it was going, and I always focus on the rest part, and because their theology makes our Savior a liar. If he's a liar, he can't be Savior. They're following Roman Catholic ways, and yeah, I always hone in on, I usually don't have time or their attention to do all of them. If it was a seeker, I would, but I focus in on the rest, and I'm like, you're not resting in Christ because you don't have a biblical Savior, and they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, he rose on Saturday. He is our Sabbath rest, and it goes right over people's heads because they're not grasping it, and they're not deep in theology, in the doctrine, not even theology. I know theology is the study of God. It's really been a corrupted word. They're not deep in the doctrine. Doctrine's a better word. Theology, I try to use biblical words. I should. We all should. Doctrine is in Scripture. Instruction is in Scripture. Theology is just turned into this high critical thinking mindset. But Brother Akuo, Brother Purgis, you guys understand that? I know you do, but maybe comment on that about why we can hammer on that, because these holidays are like the benchmark. I was talking to a pastor yesterday or the other day and asked him through a translator, why do you keep the Christmas and Easter when you know it's not God ordained? And what was his number one answer? Because it's popular and we use it to evangelize. They get people to come to church then. They use false traditions to get people to come to church to try to turn them to the truth. Can you find out? Can you think of anything more crazy than that?
Using evil for less evil?
Yeah. But you guys get that concept too. That's why I drive that home a lot. Remember those concepts that Brother Zelos just laid out there about the rest and his ministry, and he's the Passover, and it's showing the old to the new and a better covenant. They don't have any of that. It's just a holiday they celebrate, and it's their ticket to heaven, but it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God that's come now either. So good concepts to think about, isn't it?
Yes. Yep.
Would you guys add anything to that or any questions on that?
I mean, I think it comes back to loving or making a lie in Revelation. Like,
yeah,
you love a lie. I mean, if you know it's pagan, you know it's not ordained by God, and you're still practicing it, I mean, it can't get any more blatant than that.
Yeah, and you can hammer on who makes days holy, as I always do, and they go, I've never had anybody say man. They always go, God. I said, when did God make those days holy? He didn't. Why are you keeping them? Well, you know, because we're doing it for Jesus. We're doing that. I said, no. You're adding to what God has done. You know, sometimes I'll say to somebody, I'm like, I don't even want to stand close to you. The lightning bolt might get me too. Meaning God zapped people for that. He took them out as archetypes. So, yeah, those are important things that we don't want to avoid. Brother Purgos, I think you're up for what's on your heart, mind, thought, questions, anything you want to share.
Psalm 94, understand ye brutish among the people and ye fools. When will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. If you're being chastened by the Lord, rejoice. And for those who don't believe that he knows what's happening, consider he made everything.
Yeah. And, read the last verse, brother. Well, read the last two verses, please.
But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. He, the Lord our God, shall cut them off.
Yeah. To be cut off by the one true living God, the Alpha, the Omega. Wow, I can't think of anything more terrifying than that. To be cut off. That just, yeah, that's pretty, pretty telling words there, isn't it?
You know what I find kind of
severity.
Yeah, goodness and severity. Go ahead, Brother Cool.
What I find kind of incredible when it talks about the Lord cuts them off in their own wickedness. There's so many passages that talk about the Lord, like, lets the wicked kind of destroy themselves, like, in their own wickedness.
Yeah.
If you look out at the world, everyone thinks this life is, like, normal. Like, if you're lost, you think everything everyone's doing is normal.
Yeah, good point.
The normalcy, what's normal is destruction. That's like you're destroying yourself in your own wickedness. So that just kind of, it boggles my mind to think about that. There's so few people striving for holiness and obedience. What everyone thinks is normal is just destruction. So that just came to mind for me.
Yeah. So put some meat on that. What's some examples? So the culture thinks what is normal, but it's really destruction.
Let's just say, like, relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, sleeping outside of marriage,
yeah,
doing all of this vanity, foolishness with, yeah, like, relationships. It's all normal. That's just part of relationships. That's just what you do.
Yeah.
But it destroys so much.
Yeah. Yeah, and Satan's the destroyer, and our God is a God of life, and people are choosing what sin and Satan wants them to do. Brother Zelos, how about some examples from you of that? What do you think?
Normalcy. I just kind of, my mind just jumped to a witnessing I had the other day with a Roman Catholic, and they all had the same argument about our church has been around for thousands of years, and they try and use that as kind of a pillar to bolster up the fact that they don't have any kind, they don't have sound doctrine, and the Word of God isn't with them. And when Brother Aku was just mentioning that, for some reason, that just popped into my mind, what's normal. And it's the same way what the world looks at. Has this been around so long? Well, sin has been around almost as long as man.
Yeah.
That does not justify it, does it?
No. No, it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. It's been around since right at the beginning of creation, very close. And Satan has done a good job of making it normal, making it accepted. And in the world, you can almost understand that and go, well, yeah, what do you want? They got no plumb line. They got no standard. But look at what he's done in the churchianity systems. Look at what he's done. Look at how he's convinced them of what is supposedly good and God's standard versus what we know is his standard. Doesn't that kind of make you marvel sometimes? I do. I don't want to give him too much credit, but as we always say, he is a worker. He's not lazy. He's not slothful. He's not dumb. Our master said, be wise as a serpent. Who is the serpent? Well, the serpent was Satan, and he's very wise. So, yeah, that's a great point. The world is headed for destruction, and they think it's normal. So that, doesn't that explain why when you preach the gospel to the 99.9999% of them, it makes no sense, Brother Purgos?
Oh, yeah. They've decided to take what they see and make that normal. They think, oh, well, competing against my brother to do better, you know. Oh, death, that's normal. That always happened, right?
Yeah.
They're willfully ignorant. They don't think and compare to God's word.
Yeah, that's a great comment. They're willfully ignorant. It's almost like two opposing a sentence or two opposing words, but they fit together perfectly. You know, they're willfully ignorant. So they don't know, but they don't want to know. Basically what you're saying, they don't care to know. It reminds me of 1 Corinthians 1:18. One of the early verses I learned when I was trying to figure out why the world didn't want what I had, and me and Sister Amin had, for the preaching of the cross, that word cross is storos. It means a stake or a tree, is foolishness Preaching of the cross, the stake, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So, man, that's one of the big problems with the world. Churchianity, yeah, okay. The world, what does the world rely on? Think about this. So the wisdom of man is destroyed by God, and they can't understand the things of God. What does man, for the most part, rely on for wisdom?
The false teachers they employ.
Yeah, but not speaking about churchianity, speaking about the world. So what would that be? What sector would that be? I'm looking for one word.
Largely philosophy.
Well, there's more than one word. You're right. Philosophy, I was thinking of like science. Philosophy, science, you know, all that stuff. And they look to that, and that's man's highest wisdom. And then it's like, because of God's truth, it's destroyed. They don't have it. And that's why they end up outside of, they can't even ponder it, because you're never going to find God's truth within man's wisdom. Ready? Let's talk about this. This is a good place to talk about this. Ready? Give me your take on the sin of intellectualism. Brother Purgos. Well, wait, we all know what intellectualism is, right? Well, let me plumb line it. Intellectualism is, I'm so smart, I'm going to think about anything I can, and I'm going to figure it out, or I'm going to go to guys that are smarter than me, and I'm going to figure out every single minute detail of it so I know it, I understand it, because I'm smart, we're smart, we can get it done, we can understand everything. Does that sound like intellectualism?
Uh-huh.
And I'll even make stuff up if I have to look really smart. Let me add that in. So what is the sin of intellectualism? Let's go around and talk about that.
Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Amen. So what does that mean, brother?
It's totally incompatible.
Why? You know what I
mean? Why? We need the spirit and the mind of Christ to comprehend God.
Right.
The gospel is just the pointer that allows us to acquire that.
Amen. And I have a question. Do we have finite little minds?
Besides the mind of Christ, which is as close as we have right now.
Yeah.
But without that, yeah.
Yeah. I was
just looking at 613 rules and like, this is good enough, right?
Yeah. I was thinking of mankind. I was thinking of mankind when I said we. I'm sorry. I led you on the wrong trail there. So mankind has a finite mind, right?
Yes.
And we have an infinite God.
Yes. So we can even figure out what infinite means.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So isn't that come to think that intellectualism never wants to settle and say, we don't know. Instead of making stuff up, we're just not going to know. Intellectualism always wants to find its own answer. But yet God says you can't please me without faith. And there's many things you won't know. You won't figure it out. You can't figure me out. You're not going to get it. I can't even explain it to you. It's like Brother Zello's trying to explain algebra to his 3-year-old. He's not going to get it. And so isn't that the sin of intellectualism? Isn't it really? Well, I guess I won't throw that in there. Brother Zealous, what say you about intellectualism? What is the danger? What is the sin of that?
I think it's twofold. The first is that it's after the flesh. Intellectualism is fleshly wisdom and knowledge. And Romans 8 says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But I would say that would be the first part of it, that it's basically intellectualism tries to understand everything according to the flesh and fleshly logic and wisdom and intelligence, okay? You can't do that. You cannot figure out what is spirit according to the flesh. You need to be in the spirit, and you're an enemy of God. And the second is that 1 Corinthians 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Text it to me.
And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And that would basically be the second part, that because you're after the flesh, you are not going to understand Christ crucified unless you humble yourself. Intellectualism can't grasp God's wisdom because God cast it aside.
Good stuff, brother. That's awesome. Brother Kuo. And that was well said, very well said. Brother Kuo, your turn. Fresh out of worldly college. I'm glad you're out of worldly college, brother. Intellectualism, what do you think it can be its sins, young brother?
I'm glad I'm out of college, too.
glad you're with us, brother.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here. Well, we just read it in Psalm 94, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. I think intellectualism, it's almost like there is definitely a ton of pride in it. It's almost like the creation is trying to, it's almost the sin of Satan at a certain point where it's like, we ascend to like a higher knowledge and like an enlightenment of like,
yeah, that's a great way to put it.
I will be like God. I will know everything. And we're getting that with AI now. Like, man is getting so puffed up. It's like this AI can know everything. We can know everything. We can always know everything. And it's the Lord knows it's all vanity. It's all going to be destroyed. Yeah. It's all foolishness. But I think the biggest thing is pride, and I think Satan is kind of the root of that.
Is pride the root of just about every sin? Not just about. I think pride's the root of every sin, right? Because if we sin against God, we think we know better than, isn't that all pride?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good one, brother. Good one. Test me on this, brothers. So intellectualism is sinful because of this. God tells us what we need to know in his word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we should never try to know more than what God has told us in his word about his ways, spiritual things. I get it. You can learn, if you're an airplane mechanic, you can learn about airplane mechanics. If you're a farmer, you can learn all about farming. I'm talking about spiritual things. But God gave us everything he wants us to know about spiritual things in his word. And what he hasn't told us, we should not crave to know. Is that not the root sin of intellectualism? You guys have all kind of summed it up. But it's like man says, even, and intellectualism is even worse in the Christian, so-called Christian world, because it destroys God's word. The worldly people do their own thing, but this destroys God's word. But that is the sin of intellectualism. God, you didn't tell us. You're not good enough. We want to know, and we're going to find out. And if we have to make it up, we're going to make up the answer. I'm going to understand this at all cost. Is that not the sin of intellectualism?
I want to toss something else in there, because what Brother Akua just said kind of brought something to mind. Test this here. I wonder just the way this is worded, if this would tie into the sin of intellectualism. Genesis 3, And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
Interesting.
You think that that could tie in there? Because it's interesting. I know it just popped into my head when Brother Akua said that it was not, it was about knowledge.
Yep.
And one of the things that she saw was a tree desired to make one wise, to know more than what God had given her.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great point. I had thought about that, but I didn't really think about bringing it up. But that is an absolute great point. Also, could we take the next step to the Tower of Babel?
I guess we could probably, because again, it was men gathering together to do their imagination of their heart.
Yeah.
And I guess it doesn't mention intellectualism as much there as them doing whatever they imagined to do.
Is that not it? We're intellectualism, and that's what's going on today. And they say things with these what's the word I'm looking for? When they put these goggles on, it's a computer image. What do they call those?
Virtual reality?
Yeah, VR, virtual reality things. And they say now, anything you can imagine, you can do. And really, we're coming to that time, just like it was Tower of Babel, where man can do that. And one time God stepped in, the Father stepped in and stopped it. And as Brother Kuo said, AI, I believe, is really going to be the linchpin of all of this. And they're going to step in because they literally... That's another whole topic. With this AI now, have you brothers seen this? I know you guys don't watch news, and I don't watch news much, but I do see articles here and there as I'm going to do a teaching or if I'm street preaching to know about stuff. They literally have now like a pair of glasses that you can wear, and they're working on how it has sensors, and the sensors pick up the vibration of a question. And any question that's asked you now goes into the computer AI system. And they said within split seconds, it can censor back the answer to you. And they're saying, like Brother Kuo said, basically now you can be like a supercomputer and know any answer. Ask me a question and the computer's going to give me the answer. AI, God, they're made up God, they're sentient computer technology is going to give you the answer. So that's where it's going. And I think that's the sin of intellectualism. It goes farther than God wants man to go.
Brother Pergos, would you read that one verse in Daniel that you always read when we talk about this?
Yeah, I believe that's Daniel 12.
Yep, Daniel 12. Is it 7?
But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
Yeah.
So I wonder, this is just a thought, I wonder if part of the mark of a beast system, like just the mark of a beast, will be the offering, the same offering that Satan had in the garden. You can be like gods. And he'll give you this thing, this mark, that will make you a supercomputer, and you can do anything you want. And the Christians obviously will be like, no, we want to serve God, but we won't be able to do anything because you got to be hooked into the system. But that was just a thought I had. I'm like, what if he's going to make the same offer that he did in the garden? Like, you can be like gods.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's nothing new under the sun, and he uses the same tactics, and it could be coming around to that. But I definitely think it's going to have something to do with that. And it's a good tie-in. Intellectualism has led to this. Man going where he shouldn't go, cloning things, doing abortion, all these things, splicing animals and man, computers and man. So I think let's talk about this. What's the remedy for that? Now we're talking about believers here, born again believers. What's the remedy to intellectualism? How do we kill it? How do we make sure we're never guilty of this, brothers? What would you say, Brother Purgos? How do we make sure we're not guilty of the sin of intellectualism, going further than God's word told us, thinking we got to know something God didn't tell us that we need to know, like we know better than God? Hey, you should have put this in scripture. How can we make sure we're not doing that, brother?
Well, I have a one-word answer and a scripture. Let me look it up.
You look it up. Brother Zealous, what would you say?
The remedy would be humility and clinging fast to the word of God, because if we know that, as Jesus said, the word of God is truth, we cling and hold fast to truth and we do not take our eyes off of it ever. I know it was a real account, but I think it has an allegorical lesson for us as well. When Peter was walking across the water to Jesus, and he took his eyes off Jesus and and looked at the storm and the waves around him, and he began to sink. I think kind of that would be the answer. Don't take your eyes off Christ. Don't take your eyes off the word. Don't take your focus or don't let your intellect get in the way between you and God. Humble yourself, lay down yourself, kill your flesh, walk in the spirit, and basically keep your eyes on Christ above all else, or you will be deceived, you will be misled, you will be puffed up in prideful knowledge, okay? Because knowledge puffs up. Paul says that, knowledge puffs up. But wisdom is humility before God and the fear of God.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Brother Purgos, you got your verse?
My one word would be faith, because then you'll believe in the Father. Intellectualism, I believe, could come from a lack of faith, and because you don't trust in the Lord, you try to figure things out yourself.
Ah, so your word is believe.
Or faith.
Yeah, or faith. I like that. That's awesome. That's a great concept. So not go beyond what God's word tells us, not deep spending our time spinning our wheels, trying to figure out something that God never told us to figure out. That's a little prideful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 4:6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up or one against another.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, instead of just, I'm going after a certain person and they're my idol to give me an edge over my brother.
Yeah.
You make it yourself by what you can think yourself.
Amen.
And in Ecclesiastes, it says that like every occupation or endeavor is just a competition against his neighbor, for a really bad paraphrase. So basically, you're creating covetousness possibly because of a lack of faith.
Yeah. Great stuff. That's a great answer. I like that. I never thought of that before. One word answers sometimes say a lot. You're good at that, brother. You're good at saying a few words and making them really, really meaningful. Good job. Brother Kuo, how about you? What say you? How do we defeat intellectualism in our life or in our brotherhood to make sure that we're not guilty of it and the sin of intellectualism?
I think it was talked about already, but meekness is kind of like the one word for me. It's like you have to understand what your state is in the sight of God. How quickly your life is just a vapor. The Lord holds your life in his hand, basically. He can end it whenever he wants. I guess you have to understand that we live by every word out of the mouth of God, and nothing more, nothing less. That's a big thing. I know the churches are like these false teachers like to add or take away from God's word, but nothing more, nothing less. We live on every word out of the mouth of God, and you just submit to that. You don't try to search for new things. I know I got sucked into that in false teaching before. You try to search for all these new doctrines, new understandings, all of this stuff. Your whole duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. And you have to just do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Take it for what it is, right?
Yeah.
Take it for what it is. I was thinking about, I went to this. I was thinking about, I love everything you guys said, and let me add this to it. God's word. We live by every word, as Jesus said in Matthew 4:4. I like to think of this, that God and his word is our full portion. I like that word portion. It was in the psalm that you read. It means an allotment. It means your part, your share, your territory, your tract, your parcel of land. I like that. So think of that. If you had a parcel of land, this is mine. It's right here. It's where my family is. It's where I grow my food. I don't need any more. I don't do anything on anybody else's parcel. I focus on my parcel. It's everything I got right here. Kind of like the guy that went and bought that piece of land because he found something really valuable on it, right? So if God's word is everything we need, it's our full portion, brothers. We don't need anything else outside of that. We don't need to, as Brother Kuhl said, add to it. We can't be trying to take away from it. We can't begin to seek and go, I got to find out even more than that, because then it becomes, hey, God, you didn't give me what I need. And we're longing and yearning for something that he didn't want us to have. So I think of my plight, my battle against intellectualism is to say, God and his word is my full portion. I need nothing else. Does that make sense?
So you're saying your full portion is Christ.
Amen. His, the word made flesh. Amen. Yeah. And I, when somebody brings me something that's outside of scripture, I go, don't need it, don't want it, ain't hearing it. It's just, I don't need it. It's not my portion. My portion is him, his word, his truth. I don't need any more. He's enough. He gave us everything we need. It is written. And the warnings are, don't take away and don't add. How about that, brothers? Deuteronomy and Revelation 22. Don't add or don't take away. Isn't that enough to kill intellectualism right there? Adding to the word of God or taking away from it? That's enough to scare the daylights out of me to never even want to come close to doing that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff, brothers. I'm going to stop this audio. This one went really long. I'm going to stop that right there. Good job.